Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. In this episode of FEA Today, and probably the next one as well, we want to take the time to consider what the Bible has to say about the discipline of discernment. In the Bible, the Apostle John goes to great lengths in his first epistle to teach the believers in the early church, and therefore all of us today, how important it is to practice righteousness and to demonstrate love or agape for one another. In fact, John teaches that the habitual practice of righteousness and the practice of love demonstrated toward other believers, indeed and not word only, they're actually evidences that a person is truly walking in fellowship with the Lord or abiding in Jesus Christ. Although believers are to be marked by our love for one another, we are also to be people who love truth and who exercise discernment in all things. How necessary this is, especially in the day and age in which we live today. Biblical love or agape does not entail the acceptance of everything that claims to be Christian. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament exhorted the early church in his letter to the Philippians to love one another more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. As children of God, believers are to become increasingly knowledgeable and discerning. Many people today believe and teach that to exercise biblical love is to accept and to be non-critical of anything and everything that is accomplished in the name of Jesus Christ, or in the name of God, or among any who call Jesus Lord. In other words, they say if we really love others, we will refrain from exercising biblical discernment. But the Apostle John, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says exactly the opposite. John discusses the imperative of love for other people in 1 John chapter 3, and then in chapter 4, he begins to address the imperative of love for the truth, specifically the need for knowledge, the need for judgment, and the need for discernment in the lives of those who are truly followers of Jesus Christ. We read in 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, the apostle writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us." Notice, "Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." In these first six verses of 1 John chapter 4, we find three important exhortations that we must apply to our lives every day when it comes to the need for biblical discernment. First, the Apostle John tells us, "Believe not every spirit." As Christians who live relatively comfortable lives in this day and age, we need to realize that although we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, the reality is that other false spirits are continually seeking to influence our minds and our actions. So John writes, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." What does that exhortation tell us? It tells us of the reality of a system of unseen evil activity, a system that exists even though our modern minds and contemporary culture shun the idea. So often, we tend to live our lives with blinders on, solely focused on the things we can see, hear, feel, and touch. But the fact is this: a system of unseen evil activity with a goal to influence our behavior and our beliefs really does exist in this world in which we live. In fact, the Apostle Paul implores the believers at Ephesus to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and then he exhorts the believers to put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Paul is talking to believers who do have the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, and yet he is telling them that a battle is being waged in the unseen world. In verse 12 of Ephesians chapter 6, Paul explains the fact that this battle is not a physical war. It is not a material war. It is a spiritual war. He writes, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore," that is because of this fact, "wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Paul then urges his brothers and sisters in Christ, of course, and each of us today, to stand therefore, armed with truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. As Christians, we are dealing today with strong forces in the spiritual realm that we cannot even see. And the Apostle Paul is telling us that in order to counter the effects of these demonic spirits that continually attempt to attack us, we must equip ourselves with the whole armor of God. Conventional warfare, conventional weaponry, will not be effective against these invisible foes. Because of this fact, we must put on the whole armor of God, and that armor is spiritual armor. If we live our lives day by day, not even aware of the fact that we are being attacked in the spiritual realm, then we become vulnerable prey to our enemy. Addressing the church at Corinth, the Apostle Paul communicates some extremely important truth. You see, Paul was fearful of something, and he reveals his fear to these Corinthian believers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy," that is the right kind of jealousy. He continues, "For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." You see, Paul desired that these believers who were in the church at Corinth live lives that are becoming of the gospel of Christ, holy lives, pure lives. But notice his fear. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, Paul says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Satan's modus operandi is to deceive God's people through sly craftiness and by any means necessary. Paul knows that these believers are going to be attacked, spiritually speaking, and he is concerned for them. In fact, he is afraid for them. He is afraid that they might not exercise the discernment and the judgment that they need to exercise daily in their lives. So then Paul continues in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." You see, Paul is afraid that these believers will bear with, that is, they will be persuaded to believe those false teachers who preach another Jesus and another gospel that is not the same Jesus and the same gospel preached by Paul and the other New Testament apostles and prophets. Referring to these false teachers in verses 12 to 15 of 2 Corinthians 11, Paul writes, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Satan has his own ministers who serve his purposes and accomplish his will. And his ministers are not always going to present themselves as workers of evil. So the Apostle Paul and the Apostle John make the call very clear back in 1 John chapter 4. "Beloved, believe not every spirit." Even if they come to you in the name of righteousness, even if they come to you in the name of light and gloriousness and beauty, even if they come to you in the name of God or in the name of Christianity, Paul, in essence, is saying in 2 Corinthians, "My fear for you, brothers and sisters in Christ, is that as Satan is attempting to beguile you by any means necessary, you will listen to the false teachers he sends to you, the false teachers who come to you with enticing words and beautiful promises. My fear is that you will be influenced by them." Often as Christians, we like to dwell on the blessings of our salvation and on the reality of angels that minister at the bidding of God. And, you know, these are good and pleasant thoughts. Yet we do not consider the absolute reality of the system of evil that bombards us every moment and is just as real as Jesus Christ, is just as real as the angels. So when the Apostle John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit," he alerts us to the fact that there is a system of unseen evil activity in the world around us. And these warnings are not directed to unbelievers out there in the world. They are directed to us, to believers, to Christians, to those who truly have a relationship with Jesus Christ. John's warning to believe not every spirit could also imply that believers can have a tendency to be gullible or naive. You see, in this context of 1 John, there were some believers to whom John was writing in the first century church who apparently believed whatever anyone who claimed to be a Christian told them. Remember, the whole letter of 1 John was written in response to false teaching. The Gnostics were beginning to infiltrate the church. They were claiming to have a greater and higher knowledge of God, specific knowledge, special revelation. They believed that Jesus Christ could not have been God because flesh, they claimed, is inherently sinful and spirit is inherently good. And these Gnostics came into the church with all of this special knowledge, quote unquote, and these superior theologies, and John was trying to alert these believers in a kind and loving way. John says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." So this is the first thing to understand, and we'll continue this study next week. But the first thing we must understand when it comes to biblical discernment is that we cannot believe everything we hear, even if it claims to be Christian, even if it claims to come to us in blessing and light and glory and wonderful promises. Discernment first begins with believing not every spirit. I thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today, and Lord willing, next time we'll continue our series. Until then, may the Lord bless you.